Yeah, it's always a pleasure when we get joined by the one and only Charles Barkley, NBA on TNT, and he joins us right now on the Arizona Sports Line. Chuck, good morning. Thanks for joining us again. We appreciate it.
No problem, guys. How you guys doing?
What's
doing
up, good. Legend?
We get you a couple days after your big 60 Minutes interview airs. I don't think we've ever had a guest on our show before that's been on 60 Minutes before, Charles. This is huge.
Yeah, you know, it was pretty cool. They've been following me around like the last 6 months. And it was an honor and a privilege because I love that show. I haven't had a chance to see the piece yet, to be honest with you, because I was, you know, I'm stuck in March Madness right now.
Yeah.
So I haven't seen the piece yet. Hopefully I'll get to see it hopefully the next couple of days. But it was an honor and a privilege. I love that show. I watch it religiously.
Well, that's great. And I want to ask you about your role at CNN coming up. But let's jump into this because I think KD did see that segment, Charles. He clapped back at you for calling him sensitive. What do you think is beyond why players are so sensitive in this day and age? And where is this whole thing going, you think?
Well, I don't know where it's going. It's no big deal to me. He is sensitive. And it's weird. I've said it for 3 or 4 years now. I'm not sure why he reacted to it again. So I don't care where it goes. He's a great, great player. I think he's a good guy, too. But he is sensitive, and I'm not worried about it. I don't even think about it. Man, I'm even thinking about the NBA right now,
right.
To be honest with you. I mean, I've been in New York for 2 weeks, heading to Houston. I haven't even watched an NBA game in 3 weeks because college, man, this is the greatest 3 weeks, you know, of my year. Can't wait to get – and I tell people, you know, I've been blessed to play in the Olympics twice, and it's the greatest thing in the world to represent your country. But Saturday at the Final Four is the second best thing I've ever done in my life. Yeah, I haven't really been paying attention to the NBA. It's going to be crazy, man. I mean, I've got a couple more weeks before the playoffs start, but, man, this is going to be probably the craziest NBA playoffs ever. I mean, if you ask me right now, I'm probably going to pick the Nuggets and the Bucks. But I'm going to put it, you know, as they say, I'm going to write it down in pencil. I'm not going to write it down in permanent ink. I'm not going to lie because, first of all, you got zero idea who's going to be playing who.
Yeah. Right.
So it's going to be interesting. I can't wait to get started after I get past this weekend.
It's going to be nuts.
It's going to be crazy.
Yeah. The standings shift every day, and the Suns are in the thick of that. And again, knowing that you haven't focused in the last couple of weeks on the NBA, just generally speaking, Charles, when you look at, all right, Kevin Durant could be coming back tomorrow. They'll get about 6 games with him in and then hit the playoffs. Is that enough time in your mind for a player of his ilk to make a big dent on a team that has, you know, not had him for most of the season? What do you think the Suns can do in the playoffs?
You know, I don't know because I don't know the matchups.
Yeah.
See, that's the problem. What seeding are they right now?
They're 4.
So they're going to play 5. And we have zero idea who 5's going to be. So I can't even have an honest opinion because I think last time I looked, wasn't the Clippers 5?
They are.
But they're not going to beat the Suns without Paul George. So that's what's crazy.
Yeah.
And then what's crazy out of that, I know the 4 are going to play 1, so they will play the Nuggets. And, I told you, I'm writing this in pencil. I would not pick them to beat – I wouldn't pick them to beat the Nuggets, to be honest with you. But like I say, I don't know Kevin's situation. If he comes back healthy, I think a week, because, you know, you're probably going to have another week to get healthy.
Mm-hmm.
But like I say, they're going to beat the Clippers without Paul George. And, you know, you asked me about Kevin coming back. Even Paul probably not coming back to the playoffs.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure you don't want to come off your hospital bed and have to guard Kevin Durant. That's not going to be conducive to Paul George's health.
No.
You know, yeah, he might like, yeah, I'm not healthy yet. I don't want to come off my hospital bed and have to guard Kevin Durant. So, man, it's such a fluid situation. It's going to be fun, though, because I think the play-ins start the 11th. Mm-hmm. And, it's so funny watching all these fools on television. You know, they're like, the Lakers are dangerous. I'm like, no, they're not. Dangerous. You know, it's like, well, they got LeBron back. And I said, yeah, and they lost to the Chicago Bulls. Got blown out, basically. But we're so, they're like, no, the Lakers, they're going to make a run. I'm like, no, they're not going to make a run. But it's fun watching it. Because like I say, I try to always be honest and fair. I got zero idea what's going to happen in the playoffs. Like I said, if you ask me right now, I'm going to say Denver's been the most consistent team all year. In the East, I don't think anybody going to beat Giannis four times in a week.
I agree.
Especially if they get anything out of Middleton. But, man, it's going to be fun watching.
Sure is. I want to ask you about NBA officiating, Charles, because last year during the playoffs, I saw the Suns kind of disintegrate. I think they let the refs get in their heads way too much. I think they foul hunt and flop a little too much. Maybe not this year as much as last year. But Monty Williams has kind of gone off on him a few times in the last week or so. What is the balance a basketball team has to draw, especially when you're a jump shooting team like the Suns, to not let the officiating get between your ears?
Yeah, you got to really be careful because they're human. And when you say bad things about them publicly, they remember it. I think these guys are trying to do their job. They're going to miss calls. Everybody miss calls. You know, I saw Monty's statement. Like, listen, some games you're going to get more free throws than others. And in a particular game he's talking about, you have to also factor in AD was being really, really aggressive, and his Suns were shooting jumpers, like you said. So I there's probably going to be a discrepancy. Is it 45-20? I think it was that game.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to ignore the officials, and because I think, you know, like, you see, now I see people are getting hard on Luka because he whines on every single call. And I think the officials have said, like, we're not giving this dude no calls because he's starting to whine. He's doing that little money thing. You know, they got egos, too. So, hey, you have to block it out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think if you want to say something about the officiating, say it, get it over with. And now let's get back to playing basketball.
Well said. Charles Barkley, our guest here on Bickley and Murata Mornings. Charles, I wanted to ask you about the MVP race, and there seems to be, I don't know if I want to call it controversy, but there seems to be a toxic side to the discussions this year as it pertains to Nikola Jokic maybe being a three-time MVP, or is it Joel Embiid, or is it Giannis again after a couple years after he won back-to-back MVPs? But there also seems to be a racial component to a lot of people talking about how the voters break it down. What do you make of all of it and what the MVP discussion and argument has become?
Yeah, it's really unfortunate and sad that you got a couple idiot fools and jackasses on TV making it about race. You know, and they say stupid stuff like 80% of the voters are white. And they vote for white guys. And I says, well, that would really make sense since there's been only 5 white MVPs in the last 30 years. So that just put that – first of all, it's only like – I think the number's like close to 58%. But that's neither here nor there. But there's only been 5 white MVPs in the last 30 years. So that's really a bogus and an asinine statement to make. And I was back in the NBA when I heard it, and I went off on it. And now, see, that's why we have to really be careful when we're talking about race, because people say stupid things when it involves race. And I hate this gotten to the point. Listen, the Joker deserved MVP the last couple of years. He's in the conversation this year between him and Joel and Giannis. Let's get one thing straight. Giannis is the best player. And, you know, you hear these guys get on TV and say, well, you know, some of these guys have gotten screwed out of MVP because people want to vote for other people. I says, no, they haven't. The MVP is who played the best that season. Michael Jordan was the MVP, was the best player in the NBA probably 4 years before he won an MVP. His team wasn't doing good. Same thing with Kobe Bryant. Nobody thinks Steve Nash was better than Kobe Bryant or Shaquille O'Neal, but those 2 years in Phoenix, they had the best record, and he had the best regular season. Mm-hmm. That's and you know, Shaq hates that, and he gets mad. I say, dude, the Suns had the best record. Steve Nash was great. If you go back and look at all the MVPs for the last 30 years, I don't even know this number, but I guarantee you 25 out of those 30 years, it probably went to the player who had the best record. Mm-hmm. So it's a regular season award. It's not who's the best player, because in my opinion, Giannis is the best player. But I think Joker or Embiid are probably going to win the MVP. But I really appreciate your question, because race is such a serious issue. If you don't have an honest, fair take on it, you should shut the hell up. Because to get on TV and say, white voters vote for white guys, and there's only been five. And so clearly, if that was the case, that'd probably be 20 to 25 white guys who won MVP instead of five.
Right. Rick Smith would have been MVP.
it just really pisses me off because when you're on television, you have to be fair and honest, because people believe stuff you say.
Yep.
Even these clowns like on Fox News and things like that, people are like, well, it's got to be true. And, you know, I work with CNN. We'd have some fools on there, too, saying things that were stupid.
Right.
And I said, so that the one thing I'm really proud of, I've never got on television and said something just to get ratings. That don't mean I'm right all the time now, but I always try to say what's fair and in my heart.
Yes.
Because people believe it. Even when you say stupid stuff, they believe it. So you have to be fair. And, that really bothered me because – you don't interject race into stupid stuff. And saying a guy won MVP because he's white, and saying 80% of the writers are white and there's only 60, but also the stats don't bear that out. There's only been five white MVPs in the last 30 years. Mm-hmm. So to get on television and say all the white voters vote for white guys, I'm like, well, I'm pretty sure 5 out of 30 is not a good number.
All right, take 30 seconds. Tell us about what you got going on with CNN, Charles.
Nothing yet. Nothing. Okay. So they came to me probably 6 months ago and said, would I consider? I said, no, I don't want to do no. And it would only be one day a week if I decide to do it. And I said, no, I don't want to be on TV more. I want to be on TV less. I don't want to be on TV more. Because CNN is struggling. And I said, no, I don't want to be on TV. And they said, well, what about with Gayle King? Because Gayle is one of the people I really admire and respect. I like her a lot. You know, I've got to know her well over the years through my relationship with Oprah, and she's just cool. And I said, well, I would consider doing a show with Gayle one day a week, starting in the fall. And I said, well, let me and Gayle spend some time together. Because, you know, first of all, Gayle's got a real job. She's on every morning. I said, what make y'all think she wants to do more? And so how this thing came about, the new guy who took over at CNN was Gayle's old boss over at CBS. And so me and Gayle, we got together at the All-Star game. I said, Gayle, I don't want to be on TV anymore. She said, me either. And I said, I would consider it, though, because you know how much fun we have together. And we're going to spend some time together over the summer talking about it. But there's nothing imminent. Like I say, it would only be one day a week if we do it. And it's really just going to be like whatever the hell going on in the world.
Gotcha.
We're not going to, you know, because, you know, the funny thing about it, crazy stuff happens every single day. I'd be remiss if, like, you know, our politicians, they disgust me so much. It's a joke what's going on in this country now. These dudes spend all their time trying to ban books, and they should be banning assault weapons. My thoughts and prayers to those people in Nashville. But our politicians, they're sitting here worrying about books that were written 30, 40 years ago that got a bad word or something because everybody's quote-unquote woke now. And instead, they want to ban books instead of assault weapons. and it just drives me crazy. Mm. So if, just say if we were doing the talk show, that's probably what we would have been talking about.
Yeah.
So it's really just going to be about whatever is going on in the world today. But like I say, nothing's set in stone, guys.
Gotcha.
Thank you,
Charles,
brother. Appreciate you so much.
Thank you for being so generous with your time with us, Charles. We always appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Hey, man, I love you guys. Thank y'all for having me. Y'all be safe and take care of yourself.
You
likewise,
too.
My man.
Thanks, Chuck.